It's high noon, and you are listening to Lightly on the Ground Radio. We're exploring our food system, a complex and growing web that extends from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of legislators and back again. Our guest today in the live room at Richmond Independent Radio, WRIR, is Andy Hankins. Andy retired from Virginia Cooperative Extension at Virginia State University as an extension specialist in alternative agriculture. During his decades as an extension agent, Andy Hankins taught production and marketing of non-traditional farm products. He believes that people can make a living on a small farm, and they can profit from growing food in a sustainable, organic way. He has proven that by working with many people in the Virginia Association for Biological Farming and elsewhere, as they figured out together what value-added farm products, specialty vegetables, grains, and livestock work in their particular situation. He's taught people how to grow ginseng, mushrooms, and other woodland crops, medicinal herbs, cut flowers, and all types of vegetables. He leans towards such sustainable practices as integrated pest management, low or no-till cultivation, and things like that. Andy Hankins, welcome back to Richmond Independent Radio. What are you doing in your retirement?
Well, thank you for having me back, Patricia. I'm enjoying my retirement. Actually, I'm working 30 hours a week at Virginia State University with Cooperative Extension, so I'm kind of like semi-retired rather than fully retired. And in retirement there, I'm continuing to support this topic we're talking about today, the Virginia Biological Farming Conference, providing some leadership to that, and I'm not doing quite as much work all over the state of Virginia, putting a lot more focus on my program development lately with urban horticulture, trying to help people in inner city areas learn how to grow commercial crops of produce, herbs and flowers and berries and organically grown vegetables.
In the city?
In the city,
how
yes.
Cool is that? Kind of like Will Allen is doing, I guess.
He's my main guru to look at and mentor to follow, to see the systems that he's working with. And there's lots of urban areas in Virginia. It's not just Richmond, but Richmond certainly is one of the target areas, but also the whole Portsmouth, Norfolk, Suffolk area down in southeast corner, and quite a bit of, we would call them urban neighborhoods without a whole lot of access to fresh vegetables, even up throughout the Arlington, Washington, D.C. region. Mm-hmm. That's meant much of that is in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And there's other urban areas in the state.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that, because that's one of the things that a lot of us see in the future, is that there's going to be a shortage of good food in the cities and extending outward.
What I really like about it is the engineering challenge, trying to see if we can grow crops like on rooftops or in paved parking lots. And these above-ground soil containment systems allow people to grow crops anywhere that the sun is shining. You can have horticulture production.
Now, are they going to talk about that at the Biological Farming Conference? What is on that program?
Well, we're going to talk about, there's 22 presentations by some of the best accomplished, knowledgeable experts in the United States. I'd say about two-thirds of these experts are actual commercial producers, and one-third are university research type scientists. So we have a good mix of farmers and university people given the presentations, and they're talking about a wide variety of things. Their theme for the conference this year is transitioning to organic agriculture. We see right now in the state of Virginia quite a bit of financial and economic challenges in conventional agriculture. Low prices, high cost are causing this. And we're seeing very much that some of those farmers might find some strong economic advantages to look into the organic market for better profits in the future. So one of the reasons why we'd have transitioning to organic agriculture is we hope that many of the conventional farmers in the state will come to our conference this time and just see what it's all about.
And where is it located this year?
This year it's going to be at the Holiday Inn at the Coger Center on Route 60, which is primarily known as Midlothian Turnpike in Richmond.
Oh, in South Richmond.
So it's right here in town, yes.
How convenient. Yeah.
And it's going to be held on February 10th and 11th. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of time yet for people to register. We'd like to have people register if they can before January 25th.
And we'll give registration information later in the program. But in the meantime, if you want to take a look at the schedule, it's at vabf.org. That's short for the Virginia Association for Biological Farming.
At this conference, we have four tracks. We always have a track because many of our participants are fruit and vegetable growers. So we have a whole track just for them about intensive and organic production of vegetables and fruits and even some of the herbs. I'm excited about one presentation that just one man is going to talk for an hour and a half just about growing and managing and marketing elderberry. You know, this is a strong new field, these nutraceuticals, very strong antioxidant crops such as elderberry and blueberry and aronia berry and goji berry, and there's a raft of these other acai and all those different kinds of very nutritious fruits. We see the market demand for these kind of products is jumping. And it's what I like about elderberry, it's a native plant, has very few, almost no insect or disease problems. It lends itself so well to organic production. The deer don't want to wipe it out when you plant them. So it can be grown in harmony with our existing forces of nature in the state of Virginia without a whole lot of trouble.
Now, I guess you would be talking about the marketing of it too, like what you do if you have a bumper elderberry crop.
Oh, yes. He makes elderberry wine and elderberry jelly and all kinds of products. And he's also going to be talking about just even the production of elderberry plants for sale in half-gallon pots to homeowners who want to have a few elderberry bushes in their backyard.
Well, what else is on the program? Oh, is there something about urban agriculture?
Oh, yes. Our keynote speaker on Friday night, every year at this conference, we have a big, it's a two-day conference so that people can come together and network and meet each other and spend the night together. And the Friday night banquet is just a beautiful kind of a program where our keynote speakers are Christian Melendez and Renee Katakalis from Eco City Farms in Edmundston, Maryland, and they have developed what we call the Growing Power Will Allen model for inner city horticulture inside the Beltway on the north side of Washington, D.C. That's where Edmundston, Maryland is. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they go to the restaurants in the city and the food service institutions in the city, such as hospitals and jails and anywhere where there's food scraps, and bring it all to one place and make compost out of it. Mm-hmm. And they use that compost for these above-ground soil containment systems I was talking about to grow crops where there's no beautiful big country fields in the city. They create raised beds, and they're growing crops, and they sell these crops right back to the restaurants and the food service industry where they got the food scraps to make the compost of. So it's a recycling situation. It's a beautiful system. Many, many people have heard of this man named Will Allen from Chicago and Milwaukee. He's been to Virginia several times speaking and showing this miraculous kind of inner-city horticulture up there in the Midwest. But what I like about the Eco City Farms folks is they didn't just listen to it. They went to work. They rolled their sleeves up and employed that model in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's working very well for them. So we hope that will cause some more inspiration. One thing they always do is they use a lot of red wiggler worms to make this compost using the food scraps from the city. That's not there's no odor problems or any unsightly kind of situation. It's all just a very clean and perfect system to work with once you get it started.
Yeah, it's a staff of millions who are just working for scraps.
Yes.
Good, yeah.
Yes.
So So that was the evening thing. Let's just kind of sketch out the program. Like Friday morning, there are optional programs, and then the food festival and the plenary lunch. Just kind of run us through Friday on this conference.
Yes. Friday starts with a pre-conference program from 10 to 11:45 that people can attend without even having to register for the conference and without paying any money at all. If they just want to come and take be part of the pre-conference, you can just walk right in and go into the rooms and enjoy that. Like I said, it's the Elderberry. There's also going to be a presentation about the practical tools that are used in horticulture by Nazarak Amen with Purple Mountain Organics.
What a wonderful person.
He's a great guy.
And so knowledgeable about tools.
They've got 14 different kinds of hoes that they have at their trade show exhibit. All these specific different uses for each little collinear hoe for different kinds of weeds and crops. There's going to be a nice presentation. Many people in Virginia are familiar with Southern Exposure Seed Exchange in Louisa, up in Louisa County, one of our local organic seed sources. And Ira Wallace and one of her seed producing family farmers from Southwest Virginia will be talking about organic seed crop production. That's a big market right now for people who can buy good seeds. Mm-hmm. And some of the seeds are not the completely hybridized and terribly bred and developed kind of varieties. Some of these are heirlooms back to the 1800s that still have the wonderful characteristics from the past. And we also have a livestock presentation by Scott Wilson, Full Quiver Farm. It's just a family farm making a lot of money selling range poultry, the broilers and the eggs, and natural pork and natural beef down in Suffolk, Virginia. So what I was trying to say earlier is we have these tracks. One would be livestock, one would be horticulture, one would be agronomy for the larger farmers who might come to talk about crop production. And the other one is kind of various ideas in business management and financial management in farms. So the main program gets started at 1 o'clock with one of these conventional type of farm presentations. This wonderful couple, Mary Howell and Klaus Martens, they farm actually 1,200 acres of land up in New York State. And this transitioning to organic agriculture. Back in the 70s, Klaus and Mary Howell had a conventional grain operation doing the corn, wheat, soybean thing like so many farmers in Virginia. But this constant applications of pesticides and constantly being at the spray tank filling up the pesticide spray application machinery, Klaus started getting health problems from doing that all the time. They got so severe that he couldn't continue. So they said, well, let's see if we can grow their crops without using all the petrochemicals, herbicides and insecticides and all that. And they jumped into organic production of grain. And now with 1,200 acres of certified organic grain, they have a huge market selling to all the livestock people who want to do organic eggs and organic beef and organic milk throughout the Northeast. They make much more money in that organic grain production than they ever thought they would make in conventional grain production. And Klaus has got his health back and they're thriving. So it's a wonderful testimony to the both the financial success and personal success that people can find in organic agriculture.
Well, that is just wonderful. It's so good to see that turnaround. Let's just take a short break and come back and keep that thought in mind. Let's listen to a little music. This is The Field Behind the Plow.
If the harvest any good, the money just might cover all. For Christmas if you can. September rolls around. So watch the field behind the plow turn to straight dark rows. Put another season's promise in the ground. Watch the field behind the plow turn to straight dark rows. Put another season's promise in the ground.
And that was about half of The Field Behind the Plow, which was written by Stan Rogers and sung there by Priscilla Herdman. Kind of gets to the crux of what farming is about. And Andy, I had a question. The people who are growing the grain organically are making a good deal of money doing it, and it's a worthwhile thing. How about the farmers? What can farmers do to reduce the cost of inputs on their land? Because if they're making a lot of money buying this stuff, then the farmers, how does that work out with the production of chickens and cows and things?
We have had a lot of particularly beginning farmers who move into Virginia and buy small farm. They make an attempt at trying to raise crops such as organic eggs with pastured poultry. And they often want to buy the organic grain in 50-pound bags from local sources and hope that they can earn income by selling the eggs that they produce that way. And they often don't have very high profit at all. They're going to have to get $5 or $6 a dozen to get their money back from that kind of a production system. So if they can grow any kind of grains themselves, if there's even a 5-acre field that they can plant in something like barley, and figure out some kind of a harvest system and a way to dry that grain and have that as a supplement. They might buy some of the feed that they would feed their livestock, but if they have to constantly, just like I say, buy bags of feed, it's the profit is tough, and the resulting price for consumer would be too high. So yeah, everybody in livestock production needs as much as possible to learn how to produce their own livestock feeds, and we have topics throughout this conference about that. We have a real nice presentation by Chris Touche and Sue Ellen Johnson talking about organic hay production. Even without all that expensive combines and everything for harvesting grains, many, many Virginia farmers have hay harvest equipment. And if they can grow organic, regular old fescue and orchard grass hay, and we're even going to be talking about some high-value alfalfa and clover hay that can be grown organically, then your cost of the meats that you sell would be much more reasonable and the profit would be higher. But yeah, that's the main thing. And what many farmers are also looking at is trying to see what can we feed our livestock besides those conventional just grains from the past. And they're finding out that poultry and hogs and cattle and sheep might eat a wide variety of feeds besides just corn and soybeans. So there's opportunities there. We were talking about some of the other topics that we're going to have. I'm real excited about this one fella coming up from South Carolina named Trad Cotter from Mushroom Mountain. That's the name of his farm down there. He's from Liberty, South Carolina. You know myself, and you have been a producer of shiitake mushrooms. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people in the state growing shiitake mushrooms on oak logs. It's kind of become kind of been there, done that kind of a thing for many Virginia farmers now because it's been in place since about 1985. But Trad's going to talk about 40 other mushrooms that Virginia farmers can grow besides good old shiitakes. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be very interesting to hear his presentation. He's not just talking about mushrooms for eating and for selling. He's also going to talk about bioremediation of land using fungi.
Bioremediation from what?
Of possibly land that has been heavily treated with bulldozers or with possible herbicides or with some kind of road salts or any kinds of maybe negative forces moving against the soil in the past, the power of these fungus that are in the soil called mycorrhizae in healing soil is tremendous. And that's a whole new realm of thought and science that is a wonderful thing for people to learn about.
That really perks my ears up. I love the soil, and I've got a large plot of my land that has been over bulldozed. I can hardly wait. I'll go to that presentation.
We've got a scientist from Kentucky State University is going to be talking about one of your favorite vegetables, edamame, organic production of edamame. And I'm glad to have him because he's actually had a formal research study in organic production of edamame, particularly looking at how to control the weeds in those extensive crops. It's not so hard to control weeds in a quarter acre garden, but when you're talking about a 10 acre or 20 acre field, it takes some more doing, and that's, I think many people will enjoy that. He's also going to be talking about the production of sorghum, grain, sweet sorghum, particularly to be used for both syrup and also for ethanol.
Oh.
For fuel, biofuel.
Mm-hmm. Well, so a lot of these people that I've seen on these small farms have children. Is there a children's program?
Yes, that's one of the most important things about our conference every year. We invite families, especially ones who homeschool, to bring their kids to the conference. Don't leave them at home, because we have a youth program led by a wonderful lady named Cherise Cobb. She teaches at Brookview Middle School right here in Richmond. And she works so hard to get the kids. They're going to be learning about mushroom production and taking the tour of Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens. And they're going to have some music and culture, and they do arts and crafts, and they learn about farming and about soils and many different things. And they have fun and learn at the same time. That program is more for the adults than it is for the kids.
How so?
It allows the adults who bring their families to the conference to sit quietly without concern in the different breakout sessions while knowing that their children are well cared for on this youth program with lots of chaperones and adult supervision, and the kids have a great time and the parents can relax and learn what they need to learn from the conference.
Now, there are some fun things for the adults at the conference, too. I mean, there's the food festival.
Neatest things. It's a potluck dinner, and it's a lunch that's held on the Friday lunch for the last, I'm going to say, nearly 12 years. We've always had a potluck lunch. And when you look at the foods that these 300 organic farmers from all over Virginia bring to the conference and offer for everybody to have to share in a meal, it's one of the best meals I've ever had in my life.
It's the best potluck on the East Coast, I'm sure. And such bounty.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's the jam session.
Friday night after the speakers are all finished, people get out their guitars and other instruments of musical destruction and have a lot of fun all night long. And so, yeah, it is. The fellowship of the conference around the trade show.
Right.
We'll have an awesome trade show. There'll probably be 50 vendors.
Oh my gosh.
And they're from all kinds of areas around in Virginia and outside of Virginia that come. And it's wonderful to be able to see the equipment and supplies and materials that are used to support organic agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's also a important kind of a time for this organic farm movement in Virginia to have some come together and be kind of like one strong voice together. On the Friday night before our keynote presentation, we have a wonderful musician coming, Adrienne Young.
She's good.
And she sings songs about farming. Mm-hmm. She and her husband live on an organic farm up in Nelson County. She's a wonderful performance, and yeah, we have a good time throughout the whole program.
Right, and we'll have. Are we having a silent auction this year?
Yes, mm-hmm. We have a silent auction. The farmers and members of the VABF bring all kinds of both very valuable and not very valuable treasures that can be auctioned off to raise money for the association, and that's a wonderful thing that they do. You know, I was talking a little bit about some of the business management. Many people in Virginia know Mark Schoenbeck, and mm-hmm. he's going to be talking about the government programs that support organic agriculture. Right now, there's some cost-share programs for organic high tunnel crop production mm-hmm. and various things. Brian Cricket Rakita will be there talking about the USDA organic program and how to get all the rules and regulations worked out. So yeah. Those are some of those other topics.
Well, this is so exciting. And I, you know, I glanced over the brochure, and I'm really glad that you could come today, Andy, on such short notice. And time is running out. So tell us just briefly where to go to register, where to find out about the conference and to register for it.
Anybody can go to their local extension office and find out about the conference, or they can look at the website for the Virginia Association for Biological Farming, which is vabf.org. And that website has complete registration information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. So let's see. I think that about covers it. Lightly on the Ground Radio is a Sunny Gardner production for Richmond Independent Radio, broadcast on WRIR-LP FM 97.3 and WRIR.org. And I want to thank all the volunteers at Richmond Independent Radio, especially engineer Ethan Scott and our guest Andy Hankins. I wish you the best in your retirement, Andy, and I hope you're getting at least a little bit of fishing in spite of your passion for growing things, including small Virginia farms.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, thank you for being here and for all the work you've done for us in the sustainable agriculture community. Befriend us on Facebook by joining the Lightly on the Ground radio group so you will know who will appear on the show and when podcasts become available. The theme music is Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth. The incidental music was The Field Behind the Plow by Priscilla Herdman, written by Stan Rogers. And I hope you'll join us again on the radio. Until then, walk in the light and live lightly on the ground. Thank you for listening, and thanks again for coming, Andy Hankins.
You're welcome.
Bye.